Hi everybody, this is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie, with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how's it going?
I'm drowning in virtual audio cables.
Yes, we've got lots of fancy technical things happening. Before we get into this week's episode, we are changing up the format just a little bit. We have found ways to make the audio from the episodes a little bit more... I don't know, instead of having big clips of, you know, three of them, we try and usually do one per act. We are going to instead try and sprinkle them throughout, shorter clips sometimes, sometimes a little bit longer, but try and make it more omnipresent throughout the recap instead of trying to, I don't know. We can now react to the clips because we can hear them as we are recording. We're still getting used to this. Please let us know what you think about it. This is our first time with it, so we'll see how it goes. If you like the show, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. Really helps us out, really helps the show. Tell your friends, all that good stuff. We really appreciate it. This week's episode, first episode of Season 3, Stark Raving Dad, Episode 7F24, originally aired September 19th, 1991, written by Al Jean and Mike Reese, directed by Rich Moore, chalkboard gag, I am not a dentist.
Which is a scary thing to think what he was doing, to be honest.
I know. I don't know what that's implying, necessarily.
I just see Bart with a drill and a hammer and just sadness.
I think about those awful horror movies about, like, The Dentist or something like that, where I don't like dentists. That movies don't help. Couch gag. It tips over backward and family falls through the wall. And they have, like, little silhouette imprints. Like you in the old Looney Tunes cartoons. I liked it. It looks nicer. Everything in this episode looks... Their process and production is improving.
Absolutely.
In its original airing on the Fox Network, Stark Raving Dad acquired 13.9 Nielsen rating, 23% share of the audience, 12.8 million homes, ranked 33rd that week, second in its time slot behind The Cosby Show.
It's ludicrous to think that one show could have gotten 23% of the audience. In this day and age, that will never, ever happen again.
No, and The Cosby Show ranked 8th total, so neither of them were in the top 5 at the time.
Wow.
It was probably that time era's equivalent of Big Bang Theory and NCIS, I imagine.
That's true.
But Simpsons' second highest rated show on Fox this week, behind Married with Children. This episode, of course, guest stars Michael Jackson. He was credited as John J. Smith, although...
Wait, that was Michael Jackson?
You're very funny, Matt. You're a very funny guy. All the media outlets pretty much immediately betrayed that it was actually Michael Jackson. This is 1991. This is before any kind of that, the scandal or, you know, the questions about child abuse and all that stuff. He was unquestionably one of the biggest star, biggest celebrity on Earth at the time. And he actually called the show to ask if he could be on it. He was a fan, apparently.
Apparently, he, up until this point, he was probably an okay guy. Afterwards, we're not going to comment on.
I don't know. There's a story recently I heard about who was Doug Benson told on the podcast. I was there, too. Which I would definitely suggest to you guys out there, that was hosted by Matt Gourley. Doug Benson was on, he was a backup dancer in that EO ride that we saw at Epcot, Matt. You remember that?
No, Doug Benson?
He's a backup dancer in one of the last days, and he was like 19 years old. He can't dance. All he did was stand around because they couldn't afford the actual dancers for the last day of the shoot.
Nice.
But he's, Michael Jackson was there, and apparently he had a, it was, Doug Benson is a firm belief that Michael Jackson's a terrible person, probably did awful things. I love his art as a person. He was a very messed up guy. I don't think there's any debate about that, but I think his music is some of the best pop music ever created. However, the singing on this episode is by Kip Lennon, who was a singer was in the folk band Venice from my research. I've never heard of them, but he did basically impersonate Michael Jackson a lot. He's done it in a lot other shows as well. And Michael Jackson wanted him to do the singing parts, even though there's some debate about if Michael Jackson actually slipped his own singing parts back in at the last second, even though the audio engineer for The Simpsons at the time is clear that it's not Michael Jackson singing, but it's Kip Lennon. But there's still some question about all that.
Hey, he wouldn't know. He's just the audio guy.
Yeah, exactly. But I do have a quote I want to read that I think is really interesting. It's by Nathan Rabin. He wrote a whole bunch of Simpsons kind of recaps for AV Club back when they were going through all the years. They still do current reviews, but I read them and they're always really interesting. I definitely suggest you guys go search those out. They're Simpsons Classic, they're called. This is what he said. For reasons lost on the show's writers and producers, Jackson insisted on having a white sound-alike record the singing for the episode, though the show's crew suspects he might have swapped in his own singing at the last minute. This further complicates and problematizes the show's racial element. A white man was hired by a famous black man to sing in the famous black man's unmistakable voice, while he, Michael Jackson, did the speaking voice for an anonymous white man who wants the world to think he's a famous black man. Got that?
That's not complicated at all. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's a very convoluted kind of weird thing that this episode created. There's also, and this is a lot, there's a lot of background stuff on this show. I imagine it's a target of that just because Michael Jackson's in it. There's an alternate opening for one of the reruns of it. This was after Bush Sr., the elder Bush president, made a comment that we need to make, this world for more like families like the Waltons, less like the Simpsons, which is also interesting considering our next episode, which is Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington, which is actually, as far as I can tell, pretty nice to Bush Sr. But they made an alternate opening very quickly that has Bart saying, "Hey, we're just like the Waltons. We're praying for an end to the Depression, too."
Ha ha, so, stick it to you, Bush.
Boom. Well, he picked on him first. It's not really fair.
That's true.
This was actually supposed to be the final episode of season 2 originally. It was in the season 2 production schedule. So it was already done when season 3 premiered. They saved it. There was also a supposed to be unproduced sequel of this episode with Leon coming back, but this time he has the voice of Prince instead of Michael Jackson.
The fact that they have never done that makes me very sad.
Well, it was close to happening. Prince was all on board. He really liked it. He's like, "Yeah, I love it." They had sent him a script, and he's like, "Yeah." And he said, "Yeah, it's really good." And he had sent some thoughts on, and he gave them some notes on some certain things, and they're like, they had no idea what he was talking about. He had read a different script.
Oh.
And they don't know what it is, but when he read their script, he hated it, and he canceled.
Aw, screw you, Prince.
Again, an amazing musician. He's a very strange guy. Can't even try and imagine what kind of thought process he went through. So, anyway, that's a lot of stuff. I think that's the longest amount of time we've gone through before we even started a recap. There's so much to get through in this one. Episode starts with Lisa waking up Bart, which the holding the nose method, which that's awful. Although
that's a good way to wake somebody up, though.
I will admit that after I watched this episode, I did it to my sister. she was not fond of that, but it certainly works. It wakes you up. But Lisa, which becomes basically the A and B plots of this, kind of merge at the end. Lisa's birthday is coming up. She wants to remind Bart, "I'm going to be, it's two days before, I'm going to be 8 years old. I want to remind you, make sure you get me a present."
Which is always good. It's like, "Hey, by the way, make sure you buy me a present."
Yeah, I think that's
kind of aggressive.
I know, but I can understand in this kind of situation where it's Bart and she's like, I'm not going to give you an excuse. I want you to know that I know you care about me. I'm not going to let you forget. I want you to buy me a present. Or at least remember my birthday. Do something for it. Bart calls, he's going to watch the Krusty, he calls the Krusty hotline after he sees it on the back of, the Krusty cereal, I think it is. Yeah.
That's the best hotline ever.
Krusty laughing for a minute. Homer is scrambling desperately for a shirt. He's walking around the house shirtless, like, I need a shirt. Marge's like, don't worry, I washed him. But we find something out about the shirts. Bart has left his lucky red cap in with a wash, and Homer's not too happy about it.
Pink! Marge, I can't wear a pink shirt to work. Everybody wears white shirts. I'm not popular enough to be different.
Which, it says so much about Homer.
Well, yeah, how much he values popularity.
And he's not wrong, because everything he's worried about happens. He wears a pink shirt to work. All his shirts are pink. And he walks into work, and the shot of him in the middle of a field of white shirts. And he's the one pink shirt. Oh, I love it.
Which just goes to show you he's not in a fashion-forward workplace.
It's not, I know, that's not, it's not very fair to Homer, but he's at a plant. And you think anything that says, like, has plant or factory in the title, you're not expected to, I don't know. It says a lot about the conformity in the workplace and how such a subtle dig.
Yeah, but doesn't Carl wear a pink shirt, like, every day underneath his jacket?
Carl's popular, Matt.
Oh, you're right. He's the boss. He's popular.
Carl's cool. I think that's another subtle, like, the no homers thing. No homers. Burns is on a... The color monitors are already paying for themselves when he sees Homer. Picks him out. Apparently he has the full power to authority to just, like, give people psych evaluations. Marvin Monroe, I think Homer's like, the perfectly cromulent explanation that their shirts got mixed in with a red hat. But he's given the Marvin Monroe take-home personality test.
It's a tough test, man. You have to print your name.
Yeah. Homer's doesn't want to fill it out. Which you'd think he'd put a little bit higher priority on this when he's getting evaluated. But Marge won't do it. We get a glimpse into her hair care regiment. She has, like,
apparently she's keeping the hairspray manufacturers in business.
She's like 50 cans of hairspray. She won't do it, so he goes to Lisa, and Lisa will do it with one demand: that he listen to her poem.
Meditations on Turning 8 by Lisa Simpson. I had a cat named Snowball. She died. Mom said she was sleeping. She lied. Why, oh, why is my cat dead? Couldn't that Chrysler hit me instead? I had a hamster named Snuffy. He died.
No deal.
Oh, it's so good.
That is some of the worst poetry I've ever heard.
Well, I mean, she's 8 years old. That's about the kind of poem I wrote when I was 8. That pause between she goes into the second verse. Bart ends up, Homer gives it to Bart. Homer, just like my absentee ballot. Bart fills it out, gives Homer basically a laundry list of every kind of psychological problem he could have.
He hears voices.
Yes, he wets his pants. He's quick to anger, which is true. But he goes back to work with this in hand. He asks if he passes. He's immediately taken right away to the New Bedlam Rest Home for the Emotionally Interesting, which that's a good name, a name for a insane asylum, basically.
That's right. You don't want to call them crazy. That would lower their self-esteem. Just call them Emotionally Interesting.
But Homer immediately is given a Rorschach test.
The devil with his fly open.
Right.
There's a spill on the floor with bugs going after it. They're going to eat it.
Good.
Let's see. It's the mice! This isn't fair! How can you tell who's sane and who's insane?
Well, we have a very simple method. Whoever has that stamp on his hand is insane.
Just like how he acts like there's right answers. Oh, yeah, that's the devil with his fly down, of course. Good job, Homer.
Yep.
You picked that one
yep.
right out.
You got it. The bugs are going to go after it. They're going to eat it. It's
perfect.
But he's thrown in a room with the big white guy who thinks he's the little black guy. And we meet ostensibly Michael Jackson, who looks like a 300-pound, 6'5" giant white man. Bald head. introduces himself as Michael Jackson. With that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Homer and Michael getting to know each other. And Michael, if you can hear the air quotes, they're there, is very surprised that Homer's never heard of him. He asks him all his songs. You ever heard Thriller, Beat It, You Beat It? It's Homer's great reply. And so Michael's like, oh, you know, have you heard this? And he goes and starts singing Billie Jean and doing the dance from the video, which the animation on this is actually really good. It's surprisingly clean.
Yeah, it really is. Course, they managed to really capture, I mean, it's having a 300-pound white man do Michael Jackson mannerisms. They do it really well.
As a nearly 300-pound white man, yes, they do. I wish I could do that. But, of course, at the end of the video, or at the end of his dance, Michael does the moonwalk. And he, of course, tries to teach Homer to do the moonwalk, which fails miserably, because somehow Homer takes Michael's instructions, which are pretty good, actually, and manages to go forward with them, which I don't understand how you do that, honestly.
There is, and someone pointed this out in the news group I was reading, he did a moonwalk in Dancing Homer.
That's true, so maybe he just forgot, or he heard it was the moonwalk, and his brain was just like, oh, that's not the thing I did.
That might be it. He doesn't understand.
Homer's skills change radically from episode to episode.
That's very true.
But then, of course, Michael asks Homer why he's there.
You seem like a nice guy. Why'd they put you in here?
Because I wore a pink shirt.
I understand. People thought I was crazy for the way I dressed.
What'd you wear?
One white glove covered with rhinestones.
Oh, I don't know if anyone told Homer the first rule of the emotionally interesting is don't call them crazy, please.
He does it multiple times.
He does, yeah. So after they find out why each other are in there, they always cut back to Bart and Lisa watching Itchy and Scratchy with Bang the Cat Slowly, which is a typical Itchy and Scratchy cartoon, except that it involves Scratchy's birthday, and Lisa uses this as the perfect opportunity to get across to Bart that, hey, I bet Scratchy enjoyed his present from Itchy right before he got blown up. And Bart, completely oblivious, says, oh, you want a birthday present? No problemo, I got this. Which, you know, that's Lisa subtly reinforcing the fact that she just wants Bart's attention for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we go back to the emotionally interesting area with the, and they're walking around meeting the, I want to call them inmates, patients, I guess.
Patients.
And this is the first guy they come across is Floyd, and he's an idiot savant. And apparently he can multiply any two numbers in his head instantly. And of course, Homer has to try this out.
Okay, 5 times 9.
45.
Wow.
Man, that was a tough one, Homer. I'm glad you used that guy's abilities to the maximum.
I was going to say, yeah, it's all, everything else is like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I don't know if you've seen that, Matt.
Oh, yeah, we read the book in high school, just like everybody else.
I didn't read in high school, actually.
Really? Really? But we get to meet the chief from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, who never says a word. And if you have read or seen the movie of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the chief is the point of view character for you. So everything you see in the book or movie is from his point of view, but he never speaks. He's a mute observer. But of course, Homer says, hey, chief. And he responds right back, well, it's about time someone reached out to me. Apparently no one ever said hello to him before.
That's all it would take.
And then, of course, Homer thinks he's got to get out of there. But one of the other guys comes by and says, only one way to get out of here, and it ain't pretty. What's that? Dating the nurse. Oof.
That's so, the Jack Nicholson guy.
Yeah. But then we hear Homer and Michael, they're talking. They walk by a phone, and Homer says, oh, I gotta call home. But he doesn't want to do it, so he gets Michael to do it for him and tells him, oh, tell him this is one of those places where rich people lose weight.
Joe's crematorium. You kill him, we grill him.
Hello? Who is this?
I'm Bart Simpson. Who the hell are you?
I'm Michael Jackson.
The Michael Jackson? Pugh, no way.
It's true. I'm with your father in a mental institution.
Uh-huh. And is Elvis with you?
He could be. It's a big hospital.
Oh, come on. If you're really Michael Jackson, who were your last four dates for the Grammys?
Brooke Shields, Diana Ross, Emmanuel Lewis, and Bubbles.
Shiver me timbers, you are Michael Jackson! Can you stay on the line while I go with my friends and relatives?
I'm afraid not, Bart. Your father really needs your help. You don't want him to get a lobotomy, do you?
Lobotomy.
That's all right, son.
Well, there's probably a downside I don't see. New Bedlam Asylum. Loves us. Needs us. Fears he may never see us again. Got it. Michael Jackson, woohoo! I love you, man! Hey, Mom! Dad's in a mental institution!
Oh, my God. Mother was right.
And, of course, when Bart gives this information to Marge, he is doing the moonwalk.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
He's a 10-year-old in 1991. Being obsessed with Michael Jackson is probably pretty accurate. I really liked Michael Jackson when I was a kid.
That's true. I'm pretty sure everyone liked Michael Jackson when they were kids before they learned the sordid details.
Yeah. Okay, quick. But Matt, before we go any further, what's your favorite Michael Jackson song?
Ooh, I would have to say... I have to go with Billie Jean.
That's a good pick. Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
Ah, that's a good one as well.
Early era, I guess, solo Michael Jackson. Back in the Motown influenced days, more before he became the king of pop.
Marge gets the note from Bart and says, oh, okay, and she calls the New Bedlam Wrongly Committed Hotline, where apparently there is a heck of a wait because she's put on hold. And, of course, the music is Patsy Cline singing Crazy, because what else would it be?
Marge breaking down. She just starts crying when poor she starts Marge. Hearing Crazy. I know, poor Marge.
But we cut back to Homer and Michael, and they're having a heart-to-heart, and Homer's, you know, he's breaking down in tears because he's so scared, and Michael is comforting him, and he actually sings to him. He sings Ben, or this would probably be better known as...
You
Are Not Alone, yes.
Yeah, no one knows the name of it. That song, yeah, I've heard it a million times.
Yeah, exactly. You Got a Friend in Me, I think what most people remember is the iconic line. But it's actually named Ben. And of course, while Michael's singing this, Homer falls asleep on him, starts drooling, and starts talking about things he loves, which includes boobies, apparently.
And pancakes.
And then we see Michael say it's going to be a long night, Bubbles, with his little stuffed monkey, which is adorable. And then we get to commercial.
When we get back, they're at group therapy. Homer is persecuting the other patients, and particularly an agoraphobic man. Homer simply cannot understand why he can't leave the house. Marge visits, is trying to convince the doctors to let Homer out. They're amazed that there really is a Bart.
Good Lord, you mean there really is a Bart?
And Homer and Marge finally embrace. The doctors agree to let Homer out. He gets a certificate declaring him officially sane. He wants it in writing. He still has that stamp on his hand, though. And he can't get it off. That becomes like a gag for the entire third act, him trying to scrub off the insane stamp. Homer is coming home, and Michael... It says, yeah, I'm here voluntarily. I can leave whenever I want. And so he decides, I'll go home with you. And we can have a, you know, dinner and hang out and stuff. I'll go see your house. Cut back to Lisa with Maggie alone in the house.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, overlooked middle child. Happy birthday to me.
Singing what I'm pretty sure is the anthem of every middle child everywhere.
But yeah, oh my God, Lisa, so sad. We get Homer calls home and says he's coming home with Michael Jackson. Bart does, instead of Bart, was it Joe's Crematorium, it's Joe's Barbecue. You kill him, we grill him. Bart is like, yeah, no worries, I won't tell anybody. He quickly tells the entire town.
He couldn't stop himself. You saw him try to stop that hand.
I guess that's fair. He tells Milhouse, and it quickly escalates so that everyone on Earth, everyone in Springfield, knows Michael Jackson's coming. They're quickly, like, a giant chaotic group assembles. The mob, the Springfield mob, it's like a character in and of itself, assembles on their front lawn. Quimby's there. He's going to... name the new expressway the Michael Jackson Expressway, or Pooh closes the Quickie Mart.
For the first time ever, apparently.
For the first time ever. Michael Jackson shows up, and everyone's disappointed, because it's obviously not Michael Jackson. It's a giant white guy.
He's white, he's 300 pounds, and he's dressed without flair. How dare he?
Dressed without flair. The crowd quickly disperses. Lisa's left there, upset at Bart. She's like, this is what happened. See, I told you. I think that's what really sets this moment up, is the fact that she does tell him repeatedly, you know, it's my birthday, remember, and then he still doesn't remember. I think that's what really, the fact that they set it up does work. I've seen some criticism of the fact that this gets overly sentimental at the end, but I think works fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's the entire B plot, is that Lisa just, she wants some recognition from her brother that who she loves, and he fails miserably.
Yeah, and Bart is upset, one, that, because, you know, he's upset that Lisa's upset, and he's upset because Michael Jackson is not Michael Jackson. It is a giant white guy. Michael's walking around the house, and he sees, you know, Lisa sad. He goes to Bart's room, and they have a talk, basically. And Bart is, you know, he's, like, angry at this guy. He's, like, not thinking he's Michael Jackson. But then, eventually...
Yeah, either Michael Jackson is some guy in a recording studio in L.A., or he's right here, right now, willing to help you.
Exactly. And Bart kind of agrees to that. And he and Michael team up to try and write a song for Lisa, and they're trying to come up with lyrics. Eventually they actually they just start watching her from their treehouse.
Oh, she looks sad.
That's because she knows you're looking at her.
Although I'm aware you're looking at me, I would look exactly the same even if you weren't.
So they're just staring at her. She looks sad. And they're working through different lyrics, jingles, basically, to try and for this song. And Michael's trying to get to the core of Bart's feelings about his sister. It's really fun interchange there, but eventually we cut to the next day, early morning. Everyone's still asleep. They push the piano up the stairs and into Lisa's room.
Poor Leon.
Well, he's a big dude. He was a bricklayer, right? He's strong. True. So they get the piano in there, and Bart wakes her up with the pinch the nose method, which is the worst thing. But then they sing her a song.
And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three, four.
Lisa, it's your birthday. God bless you this day. You gave me the gift of a little sister, and I'm proud of you today. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. I wish you love and goodwill. I wish you praise and joy.
I wish you better than your heart desires.
And your first kiss from a boy. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa.
Yeah. Lisa's overjoyed, of course. Was it the best birthday gift ever?
That's what she says, which is honestly true. And by the way, good luck getting that out of your head for the rest of the day. Sorry, guys.
I know. I was singing it. I went grocery shopping after watching it. I sing it the entire time. My fiance's like, what are you singing? So then I had to sing the song and then explain what it was, because she's never seen that episode.
That's downright criminal. How could you let her do that?
Criminal like Michael Jackson's criminal? Smooth criminal?
Yeah, well, no, that's a very rough criminal. That's not a smooth criminal. Come on now.
I can't force people to do anything, Matt. At this point, Michael turns back into Leon. Hank Azaria is doing his voice, and he just has kind of a very, I don't know, Joe Schmo voice, like a blue-collar, what you imagine a bricklayer sounds like. And he explains, yeah, one day I started talking like Michael Jackson, and everybody was happier, and so I just kept doing it. But then Leon kind of walks, he kind of leaves and walks off into the sunset singing Happy Birthday, Lisa, in his own voice. And I believe what Lisa is, you're a credit to
dementia.
Dementia. You're a credit to dementia. And that's how the episode ends.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, it's such a good episode. Really good. Really solid.
It's so fantastic. It's great how they like to lead off at seasons with these strongly emotional episodes, and it really works.
Yeah, it's I do not get the people who say this is overly sentimental, because I think it's about the perfect amount of it, and it's really, again, like what we think of as the like really good episodes. It's really dense. There's so much stuff in it. Like, they cram in tons of content, lots of jokes, lots of gags in the entire thing. And Michael Jackson does a really good job.
Yeah, I mean, I never would have pegged him for a great actor. I mean, we've all seen Captain EO at Epcot, right?
Yeah, that's it's a great one. But
apparently, as a voice actor, he does great. Not so much as, you know.
Yeah, well, but, this was a few years after that. Maybe he
took some lessons.
Yeah, maybe.
Not to mention,
but
Nancy Cartwright's singing voice is really good.
Yeah, she does a great job. And I mean, everyone does a really good job, and it's really clever. Like, one, you have an episode, you're like, okay, it's Michael Jackson. He's the biggest star on the planet. We're not going to have Michael Jackson in the episode. We're going to have a dude who thinks he's Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And it's very clever, really smart way to use a guest star.
Yeah, it really seems like The Simpsons are at their best with their guest stars when their guest stars aren't playing themselves. So they play themselves, it's kind of, you know...
I think it depends. I think if they play themselves in a... I don't know. It's hard to, like, define it. But I can think of, like, the Krusty Comeback special. Like, that had Johnny Carson and... Bette Midler. Yeah, she does a great job. Like, when they're playing, like, these cartoonish versions of themselves and not necessarily... Yes. I don't know. When they're not just being themselves, I think.
Well, I mean, the whole Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger, was that them in that episode?
Yeah, I think so. I believe maybe. I think it was.
That was not as good. And these days, when they get a guest star to themselves, it's kind of meh. But when they play somebody else, like Sarah Michelle Gellar was on there and did a really great job. She played some random kid. Those tend to be really well. It's just when they play themselves, meh.
Yeah, this is a really good episode that I am... Ranking it is going to be tricky.
Oh,
but we'll get to that at the end of the show. Before we move on, I want to remind you guys, please send in your entries, your responses for my favorite episode. We've gotten a good handful now. We've got one coming up in a couple weeks, actually. Please keep sending them in. Simply email us, simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. Title my favorite episode and what your favorite episode is and why. We'll read it on air, and I really enjoy seeing and hearing why different episodes are different people's favorites. No wrong answers. Please send them in. Next up, comments from the news group. You know, lots of the what you would expect with Michael Jackson. A lot of it, is that actually Michael Jackson? Like, they're not 100% positive, just the same thing they saw with Dustin Hoffman. I think it was after this episode they decided that they would not use celebrities anymore unless they were credited as themselves. Wouldn't use pseudonyms anymore because of the complaints. But there was one interesting thing. I just saw on the MTV show The Big Picture about an upcoming film that stars Christopher Walken, alas, not Arnie, as a man willing to use extreme violence and generally break whatever rules there are to go after these drug lords. It was not clear whether he is a policeman. The movie's name, McBain. So McBain is coming out. That we had mentioned it when we first saw McBain. That movie came out, and then they had to start using the name Rainier Wolfcastle until the movie kind of faded, and then they used the name McBain again. But is at this point that the movie came out, and it's hard to think, oh, yeah, that movie, the McBain movie. We need to sit down and watch that movie, Matt.
Yes, yes, we do.
We need to do that. That's about it. You guys can catch these, catch and look for yourself all these, blah, blah, blah. You guys can look for yourself, at the news group. It's alt.tv.simpsons. It's been around since almost the beginning of the show. It's on Google Groups. You can find it there. Listener question of the week. What is your favorite moment from season 2? Wow. Great response from you guys. I say that every week, but every week I'm amazed by the amount of responses I get. And actually, I was kind of surprised about the variety. I could pin it down to my top contenders very quickly, but there's a lot of them that I wasn't expecting. I always enjoy that. Here we go. We got Emily at Blueberry Attack. Ringo Starr's reply to Marge's fan letter, his delivery of "Hung it, I hung it on me wall" is just fantastic. Homer J. Fong at Real Stephen Marr. Homer as the Terminator while looking for a mate for Patty. Hashtag possible Homer sexual. Mike at a Mike Bloom type. The scene between Homer and Marge in the car after prom in The Way We Was says so much about the relationship. Stephanie at Fan 225. It just seems like it has to be you are Lisa Simpson.
That's such the obvious answer, but yes.
Was the most popular. I will certainly say that. Amanda at Drawn to Insanity. Bart's breakdown and Bart gets an F. There's genuine emotion in that breakdown, and the acting is amazing, which I would heartily agree to that. Bobby at The Bobby Cash. Has to be Ringo Starr's appearance in Brush with Greatness. It's a big moment for the show to have a guest of that stature. And then I'm including this just because it makes me feel better. Plus, hearing Robbie say, "I've hung it on the wall," is hilarious, and that's coming from a British Navit. He's British, and he thinks it's funny, and I don't know if that's good or bad, but either way, it does make me laugh. Valerie at Rouge Bonsai, "You Are Lisa Simpson" is the best moment from season 2. It struck a chord with me back when I was in second grade watching it. We have Chris. "I'm going to be super lame this answer and just say everything, Lisa's substitute." I agree. There's a reason everyone's saying it. Jordan going something that isn't Lisa's substitute for the sake of diversity. Bart gets an F. A moment when Bart breaks down and cries because he gave his all and was still only good enough for a high F really makes you feel for him after he puts all the effort into studying and dawns on him that he might just be the dumb kid. It also gives us the first of many great Bart Krabappel moments. We have Brian. "You are Lisa Simpson, without a doubt. If I were to select a second place, since everyone will say Lisa's substitute, I will go with high school Homer telling Marge he'll hug her and kiss her, and he'll never be able to let her go." Finally, we have Abby. "You are Lisa Simpson. This was the moment in the series where it became more than just a silly show where Homer does dumb stuff and Bart says, 'Eat my shorts.' It was the point where the writers showed us that they could make us cry as well as laugh, and the show had a real heart to it." Matt, what's your answer?
Well, I'm not going to go with the obvious of anything from Lisa's substitute because, you know, everyone did that. I'm actually going to go.
You're allowed.
I know, but yeah. I want to highlight one of my favorite bits from the rest of the season, which is when Homer comes out in Homer versus Lisa in the Eighth Commandment and says, I want to tell you guys a couple of things. One is I'm not very happy with any of you right now. And two, the cable is coming out. I still use that to this day when I'm upset at somebody.
Yeah. My favorite is "You Are Lisa Simpson." Obviously. I can't say it's not the best. It's so good. Yeah. And it's the best episode of season 2 and one of the best episodes probably in the entire series, and it really, I think it is such a high point for early Simpsons. It's so great. That whole episode, so good. Next week's question, another really tough one. Best original song and why?
Ouch. That's going to be a tough one.
I want to pinpoint this. This is an original song written for the show. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. Which I'm still it's humming around in my head right now. It becomes a kind of a hallmark of what are considered the classic seasons. These original songs, I can think of so many off the top of my head. It's going to be hard picking one. I post this question on all our social media. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. We're on Twitter at SimpsonsShowPod. And as previously mentioned, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, follow us, like us, engage, like Patrick Stewart would say, Jean-Luc. Now, Matt, you know what time it is?
Oh, no. I don't know if I'm ready for this.
It is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is part of the show where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where does this one go, Matt? This is a really good one.
I know, it's getting so hard here.
It is. It's top five.
Oh, easily. I'm trying to decide if it was better than The Way We Was, and I don't think so, but I think it was better than Brush with Greatness, so I'm going to go with number 4.
Better than Brush with Greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I don't know. It's hard. I think I can agree with you. Yeah. I think the way we was. I don't know. I think I like this one more than the way we was, but I think the way we was is more important. I think that's the thing we keep falling back on. So four is that. Yeah, I think we can. Number four is a good place for it, even though it's. Oh man, starts the season off with a really big bang. It's such a good episode.
Yeah, and honestly, spoiler alert for the rest of you: the rest of the season, it doesn't go very far down, but it does go up.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I feel bad putting like such like good episodes in from season two. They're gonna just get pushed down because it gets even better in three and four and five and all the. Oh my god, these next few years of the show are so good. So, new number four, Stark Raving Dad. Great episode. You can find this list on our website. It is simply thesimpsonshow.com. You can find links to everything there. You find our new episodes, streaming, downloadable. Links to our Facebook, our Twitter, our RSS feed. You can contact us through it, comment on the episodes. Donate to the show if you'd like. We'd really appreciate that, of course. What is our next episode, Matt?
Ooh, get ready to get political. It is Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington.
Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington. Another Lisa episode. Yeah, I think that'll do it. Oh, before we go, let me see. You can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. It's MixMasterCereal. And you can check out my comic book podcast. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I am learning Morse code. So if you feel like it, you can go to our website and just tap out dashes and dots. And then I'll be able to read it, but Robbie won't.
I think I could intuit it out. I'm sure there's some kind of converter out there. I'm sure it's the internet. I'm sure there's a way to convert Morse code to simple English.
Yeah, right? But would you be too lazy to do that.
That's fair. That's fair. So I think that'll do it for today. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.